open up in prayer this Wednesday night, and we are working with some new technology, and that's okay too, because the Word of God is true no matter how much things go wrong around us. Father God, we come to you tonight, and we thank you for everyone who hears this word, whether they're here with us, whether they're here on computers or phones, or whether they hear it later. The one thing we know, God, is your word does not go out void, and your word is true, and your word can pierce the toughest of hearts, and it can soften the souls of man. And God, right now, the United States is in trouble. And people are wondering, what can be done? What can be done? Coming to you, God, is what can be done. When the nation of Israel got in trouble, they got on their knees before God. They got on their knees before God, and they begged for mercy for their country, and they fasted and they prayed. And so, God, we give our country to you. We give our community to you. We give our lives to you. And thank you, God, that tonight, in the midst of everything that is going on, the news, COVID, the riots, all of it, tonight we're going to study on the oil of joy that you give to us. And that oil of joy is stronger than anything that's going on out there right now. And so, Father God, we just say in agreement that we believe your word. And that we give everything over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I've been working on this sermon for weeks. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, it's like COVID is just gone. And now we have something else happening. That's Satan's tools to wear us down. Just one thing after the other to cause chaos and disruption. Then that puts us into mourning. And I'm not going to lie. My heart is heavy and my heart is sad. And I was sharing with someone, and they said, well, it's not in your front door. And I said, oh, yes, it is in my front door. I said, it is in my heart. And my heart's heavy, and I'm mourning. But you know what? I still believe what I've been studying. And the one thing I have found out that Satan does, and that's okay, I know his arrows that he throws at me, and I'm going to stand against it with the Word of God, is whatever I study on, he wants to throw the problem at me. And so I've been trying to teach beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for heaviness. And I'm not going to get into everything, but I'm telling you, it has been one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. And I just keep saying, God's word is still true. And that's how we have to stand, is to say God's word is still true. So I'm just going to talk, I'm not going to talk a lot about mourning. I'm just going to kind of pull in from last week and go forward with the positive, the wonderful positive word of God. The word mourning comes from the German word for gloomy. You ever know gloomy people? Constant gloomy people? And then it's to express sadness or sorrow for, or to grieve for. And those are very normal emotions. It's not wrong to have the emotion of mourning. But we need to take that emotion and give it to God, because he is the God of all of our emotions. Another definition for mourning is to utter in a sorrowful manner, or to cry, or to say, you know, like tonight, I was honest, I told y'all, I have a heavy heart. But is this heavy heart going to keep me from saying that the word of God's not true and that he's not still on the throne? Absolutely not. And then the other definition for mourning is to wear mourning, like ashes and sackcloth. And we have had throughout history, I love history for those who haven't figured it out. Some sort of tradition for letting people know we were mourning. In Victoria times, the women would wear black. They would put black wreaths on the doors. They would put, you know, drapes over their door frames, and people knew they were in mourning. And women who had lost their husbands had to dress in black for years. They stayed in mourning for years as widows, and they had to wear veils, and they had to go out in black, and if a woman didn't go out in black, she was ridiculed. So we have had traditions in regards to mourning. At funerals, we still wear black a lot. And that came from the black of the ashes and sackcloth. And so we have our traditions, and that's fine. We all need our traditions to get through mourning. But again, God is the God that can help with the mourning. The word for sorrow, though, see, that's mourning. Then people sometimes get into what they call sorrow. And this is where they get stuck a lot of times. And that turns into worry, even to the point of maybe getting themselves physically sick. They feel like they are suffering. They feel like there is no hope, and there's nothing but unhappiness in their life. And that is the era of sorrow. And God can take our sorrow away too, and he can replace it with his oil of joy. And for those who have been walking through grief and sorrow and mourning, you might say, no, I don't think he can do it. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says he can do. And then, of course, grief is that heavy, sad feeling. And so I'm here to say, I can talk on and on. Yes, right now there is a lot of mourning in this world. There is. That is a fact. One of those facts. But God, I'm here to tell you, there is enough of God to comfort this whole entire world and take care of our mourning and our sorrow and our grief. Our God is bigger than anything you hear on the news, than anything you see, and anything that you feel negatively. He is bigger. So I want to talk about the Spirit of the Lord giving us the oil of joy. And we know that in Isaiah 61 that I've been reading, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus, capital M, because he, God, has anointed me to comfort all who mourn. A-L-L. I don't know what the population of the world is right now. I don't need to know. But I know whatever number it is, he has enough power to comfort all who mourn. And he wants to console those who mourn in Zion, which is Israel, but it's also us grafted in. And he wants to give them, which is us that mourn, the oil of joy for mourning. He wants to give it to us. He is ready to pour it out on us. Now, from the Spirit-filled Bible, I read, for those who don't have one, I read that they give definitions and stuff. This Bible is a wonderful study Bible. And it gave a word for anointed. What did this word, anointed, actually mean? Well, it comes from the Hebrew for M-A-S-H-A-C-H. Mashak. And it means several definitions, but the first one is to rub with oil to make holy, which is the way that they did it in the Old Testament. You will hear, if you read through the Old Testament and study it, you will see that the priest had to anoint themselves with oil before going into the tabernacle, that you had to anoint yourself with oil during different rituals. This anointing with oil in the Old Testament was the way of getting the anointing of God, because guess what they didn't have in the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit. So they would have to repeatedly, hi Linda, anoint themselves with oil during all these different rituals. And I'm not going to go through all that, but that's part of it, is to rub your body with oil to make it holy. Another word is to consecrate, which means to make something holy by a procedure. To make something holy by a procedure. And in the Old Testament, there was different rituals and procedures for everything that was to be made holy. You're going to find out as we study that in the New Testament, it's different. There was one procedure that consecrates us, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to go through all those rituals, but in the Old Testament they did. Another word for anointed is to dedicate to God for a purpose. Dedicate to God for a purpose. I'm here to tell you, if you are a child of God, He has dedicated you to this world for a purpose. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think you can and cannot do. He has anointed you here for a purpose. Another word for anointed is to be perfect or flawless. Now, we know in the natural, it doesn't matter how much oil we put on our bodies. We can bathe in it, and it will not make us perfect or flawless, right? But guess what? With the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stand before God, and we are perfect, and we are flawless. So we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, and by that, we are made that way. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves perfect or flawless, and there is not enough oil, natural oil, to make us perfect or flawless, but one drop of Jesus Christ's blood can do it. Another word for anointed is sacred or faultless or without fault. Oh, when Jesus died on that cross, He took every fault that we ever have and will have. Are we perfect? Are we without fault? Will we make it through the next week without being completely faultless on our own? No. But God can take it, and He can make it perfection. And He can make us faultless before God. Now, if you noticed, when I told you the Hebrew word for anointed, M-A-S-H-A-C-H, well, the Hebrew word for Messiah is M-A-S-H-L-Y-A-C-H. It's almost like anointed, except it has an L-Y in the center of it. The reason for that is the definition of the Messiah is the anointed. All right, now we know who our Messiah is. I don't care. I know other religions have used the name Messiah. The one in Texas where Ruby Ridge and all that, you know, the Messiah. Well, we know there is only one Messiah. He has been to earth. He died on the cross. He was resurrected, and He ascended to heaven. That is our Messiah, and He is returning someday again. So we know who the Messiah is. And that name for Messiah is anointed. Well, see, Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, for the Lord has anointed me, capital M, and He's talking about Jesus here. So Jesus was anointed the Messiah all the way back in the Old Testament. And that anointing has not changed. The word Messiah then was translated from the Hebrew word that I just read to you all into the Greek, because that was the language that was used primarily through the New Testament. I mean, there's others, but that was a big one. And when it was translated into the Greek language, it was translated into C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christos. What does that sound a lot like? Christ? Yes, and another word that kind of sounds like Christos is Christians. And that's what it should be, because as Christians, we are anointed with the oil of joy. Now, that's what the word says, and we need to kind of act like that's what we're anointed with. So, let's look a little bit about why was Jesus anointed? And I kind of hinted at this at one of the other Bible studies, but I just want to really point it out. He was anointed. And I say this over and over because I want it to get into people's spirits. He was anointed to preach good tidings to the poor. And we're not talking just financially poor. We're talking spiritually poor. And he was anointed to bring these good tidings or good news to us. And we know that the word good news means the gospel. And we know that the gospel is the word of God. He also came to heal the brokenhearted. I'm telling you, this nation is full of brokenhearted people right now. Absolutely full. We've gone through grievings over COVID deaths. Now we're going through grievings over what's happening in our country. We are full of brokenhearted people. Oh my, it seems overwhelming. It seems like something that just cannot be managed. But right here it just says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. How hard is that? Is that not what the word says? So if we want our country brought back together, or you want your family brought back together because it's been broken, or you yourself are brokenhearted, receive the healing that Jesus was anointed with to do. He came to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives. And I've talked about being in captivity. He's opened the prisons to those that are bound. He proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord. I don't care what 2020 looks like. I don't care how much worse it gets. I'm still saying this is the acceptable year of the Lord and that God is in charge. He came to comfort those who mourn. He came to console those who mourn in Zion. He came to give us beauty for ashes and to give the oil of joy for mourning. And he gave to give garments of praise for heaviness. Now, all of this above is what he was anointed to do. Actions. And it's all absolutely true. You can believe every word of it. But that's not why he was anointed. That's what he was anointed to do, actions. But that's not why he was anointed. We're going to find out why he was anointed. We're going to read Isaiah 61:3. And it says, I've read the others, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why is he going to do all that? Why was he anointed to be able to do all of that? For us, folks, for us, when we read this, we need to weep and thank him because he did it for us. It says that they may be called, and we are the they, folks. We are the they, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He did it for us so that we can glorify him. For us, everything God thought about from the time he created the earth and created the Garden of Eden all the way through Revelations and his plans for what happens after Revelations when we get to heaven was for us. We have been on his mind. And everything he tries to do is a gift for us. The New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit being the comforter. And it says, he came to comfort those who mourn. And then when he leaves the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. We are surrounded by comfort. We don't have to go looking for it. We don't have to struggle with it. If you are anointed by the Holy Spirit, you have the Comforter living inside of you. That's where the oil of joy comes from for us. We don't have to do what they did in the Old Testament. We get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life. We automatically get this oil of joy. Now, we can do several things with this oil of joy. We can cork it up and put it on a shelf and let it sit there and feel sorry for ourselves and mourn and be sad and be sorrowful, which is basically like sitting in ashes and sackcloth. Or we can open up that cork and say, God, you have promised me the oil of joy. I open up this cork. I pour it all over me, God, from my head down to my toes. You know what I'm going through. You know what my heart is feeling. But thank you, God, I've got this oil of joy that I can cover myself with. But sometimes people just cork it up and put it on a shelf. If you don't use it, it's not going to be there. And it's all there within us. He's given it to us. He wants us to use it. He wants us to pull on it. And you all, that bottle of oil of joy will never run dry. Ever. I don't care if you live to be 100. Anytime there is mourning and you need to be comforted, that oil of joy is going to be there, and it will never, never run out. You know, oil back in the Old Testament is a very important symbol, and it gets pulled into the New Testament so that we can understand better the Holy Spirit. But oil was used to be applied to the faces to make the face shine. Because when the face shined, their countenance was good and everything was good. Now, you know, the countenance is what you see on a person's face. And sometimes you can tell when you look at a person what's going on. And I'm not saying to lie, because you can be walking through some of the hardest stuff in your life and your countenance still be bright, because it's not your flesh showing through. It's the Lord showing through, the brightness of the Lord. But, I mean, you know, you can be sad. You can be mournful. But when you look like there is no hope in this world and you're a Christian. You know, I wore my Dare to Believe T-shirt the other day to Lexington. And when I was walking through, I thought, you know, I'm wearing this Dare to Believe. My face better reflect what my T-shirt says, you know? And it kind of gets you together, because you don't want to wear something and then your face tells something different. So, but mourning sometimes will disfigure that loveliness and brightness of the face. And in the Old Testament times, when they were in mourning, they weren't allowed to be anointed with oil. They couldn't put oil on their face to make it shine, because they wanted to look like they were in mourning. It was part of, you know, the tradition, sit in ashes and sackcloth, and you couldn't put oil on your face because you were in mourning. And, you know, it was kind of like, well, when they were in mourning sometimes, that God, they thought maybe God couldn't pull them out. Now, sometimes God told them to fast and mourn because of their sins. Absolutely. We need to mourn before God when we go against Him, but in a prayerful way, where we ask for forgiveness and we ask that He refills us and that He gives us the strength, you know. But we do need to go before Him in a humble way and say, God, I have messed up. and then receive his forgiveness that he brought to us. We don't have to hold on to it for months or years. We go toward to God and he takes care of it. He's quick and sure to take care of it. The Jews believe that when the Messiah comes, see, they do believe in a Messiah. They talk about the Messiah in the Old Testament, the Anointed One. And they believe he is coming. They just missed a big chunk of history. They missed the first coming. But they do believe he's coming. And they do call him the Messiah. And they do call him the Anointed One. And they believe that he will give the Jewish people the oil of joy for all the mourning that the Jews have gone through throughout history. And they have gone through a lot. Sad to say, unless they're a Jew that has converted to Christianity, and there are Christian Jews out there, folks, and they're very strong and they're very firm in their beliefs. But the ones that haven't, it's sad that they're waiting for the Messiah to come to bring this oil of joy to their nation and country when it's right here. You know, it is right here. And we know that the Messiah has already came and left, and he's going to come back. But he didn't take the oil of joy with him. He left it with us. That's right, Sherry, he did. We don't have to wait for him to come back to get the oil of joy that's talked about in Isaiah 61. We don't have to wait. It's here. It's within us because we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate Sister Shirley's sermon on Sunday because she preached on the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I had already wrote all this up. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works a lot of times with me and Pastor and Sister Shirley. We pick up on the same thing. We haven't had one conversation. And so it should be, since we've got this oil of joy within us, it should be as Christians, or it should be the Christian way. You know, Eastern, like Confucianism and Taoism and Buddhism and all that, they talk about the way, especially Taoism. They're always talking about the way. That's what Taoism means, is the way, the way, the way. Well, you know, it should be the Christian way. We have a way, folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about it. The Jesus way. That's right. But it should be the Christian way to be joyful and thankful to God. Now listen carefully to what I say. To be joyful and thankful to God always, even during times of mourning. Oh, Martha, that's hard. If you're going to do it in your flesh, it is probably impossible, to be quite honest. It would be hard to wake up if somebody very, very precious to you had just died, or something major was going on and your heart was so heavy and you want to wake up and you want to say, thank you, God. Now, he did not say thank him for the sorrow or the mourning or the circumstances. It says we are to be thankful and joyful to God. Why? He is our way out of the circumstances. He is the one that's going to hold us up during the circumstances. He's the one that's got our back during the circumstances. He is the friend that will never leave us or forsake us or turn on us. That's what we're supposed to be thankful for. No, God doesn't want us to be thankful for what Satan is doing. He wants us to come against it and pray and come against it so that we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But we are still supposed to be thankful to God and be joyful in him in spite of the circumstances. And in the natural, it don't happen, folks. You have to have that oil of joy within you, and you have to open it up and you have to pull on it. But the oil of joy that God promised us should also remind us. And I put the word remind, and then I went back in parentheses, and I said, no, it really should command us to choose life and joy and appreciation in spite of the circumstances. We can't expect it from those who are not Christians. When we see them act in ugly ways, and we see them act in ways that are very unbecoming to God, we need to pray for them. We can't ask them to act any other way than what they're acting, because they are acting like their flesh and their nature, because they haven't been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They haven't got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are ways that Christians are supposed to behave and act. And with what's going on right now, you know, choose sides, you know. There's a lot of these chewing sides, even with the COVID. Do we listen to the governor? Don't we listen to the governor? Do we listen to the CDC? Do we not listen to the CDC? All this, you know, stuff. What do we do? And people would go this way and they would go that way. Well, now we have all this with, you know, the cops and the blacks and the whites and authority. And I want to state here, because I did say something about authority. The authority, the world authority, is not fair. No. And not every police officer is good.
I agree.
But the authority of God is true. And that's the one we need to honor and go to and behave like He, God, would tell us to do. My granddaughter, Allie, she was confronted by her other grandfather as to what was going on with all the riots and what did she think, and kind of made it was confrontational. And I wanted to go upstairs, to be honest, and there was a little spirit about me at that exact minute. And I wanted to really go and just kind of, you know, co-cocking. That was my granddaughter, and my grandmother Bear came out, but I stopped because Allie was handling it wonderfully. And he was asking her opinion. What do you think about, you know, you don't know what it's like to be treated like blacks, etc., etc. And he was calling her white girl. Hey, white girl. Hey, white girl. Allie is very lyrical. If you want to call her something, be sure you call her white and black. You know, because that's what she is. But he told her that she was too white to make a decision on black matters or to have an opinion on black matters. She told him she had a right to her opinion, and he had a right to her, and she wasn't going to continue to argue with an idiot. And turned around and went downstairs. Now, granted, that wasn't the way you should talk to a grandfather. But that is Allie. You take her, you leave her. Well, what we need to choose, and after all that, I went back and added this. What side would God have us to choose? His side. God's way. You don't know what to do, get in the Word and see what God tells you to do. But I know one thing. I can tell you one thing right now that every Christian can do about the circumstance. If people ask us, is we tell them, number one, I choose God. I don't choose race. I don't choose sides. I choose God. Mm-hmm. The second thing is we are to pray. And if you think, oh, well, what will prayer do? It will do a whole lot more right now than what the people out there are doing. So as Christians, I think we need to get together as a nation and pray for our nation and not get in confrontational situations without bringing God into it and without acting like God would have us to act. So I think because He gives us the oil of joy, we're to choose life, joy, and appreciation. We know that life goes on no matter what circumstances are going on. I don't care how bad things get, life does go on. Things still have to be done. Laundry has to be done. Groceries have to be getting. gotten. Things go on, no matter how bad things are. Life has to go on. But you know how we choose to live that life in the midst of the circumstances is what is the choice that we need to make. And that, of course, is to be on the side of God. You cannot go wrong if you choose the side of God. We can continue to sit in ashes and sackcloth and feel sorry for ourselves and bemoan about how bad things are getting and it's not getting any better. We're going from bad to worse. We're going from COVIDs to riots, and now they're saying because everybody now, there's hundreds of people together, pushed in together, COVID virus could resurge. Could it? Absolutely, yes, it could. And if it does, guess what? God is still on the throne. And if the riots get worse, guess what? God is still on the throne. We cannot let the circumstances diminish the power of God.
Right.
Receiving the oil of joy will help us. I read this now. Will help us defeat the bad things in life. Well, that makes it sound like we're going into violence. God doesn't defeat things with violence. You know, but we can defeat the bad things. And we are to defeat the tools of Satan. And with all of this, now I did, this was the only opinion I shared with Minta's in-laws. And they just kind of looked at me like, and so I just walked away. I said, well, you know, when I, because they kept that news on all night long. And the more stuff that happened, the mouthier they got. And I said, you know, it's not those people. It's not the policemen. It's not the rioters. It's not the looters. And it's not the protesters. I said, because you see, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's going on right now is those principalities and dark places it talks about in Ephesians. That's what we wrestle with. We don't wrestle against those people out there. The humans, that's not what we're wrestling with. We're wrestling against the spirits, the satanic spirits. And what does he say for us to do? Put on the whole armor of God so that we can defeat the foe. So that means we go in prayer with the whole armor of God. We grab the word, which is our sword. We have a shield. We have all the armor of God to go into battle. But the battle is not one person against another person. It's not throwing stones at each other. It's going to prayer to God and getting in the Word. That's how Christians defeat the foe. And one of the things that helps is when we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, it helps us to defeat bad things. We can't do it on our own. And so that oil of joy, and this made me, because I read this after being in Lexington, it said the oil of joy brings out our warrior spirit. Yes, the oil of joy brings out our warrior spirit. A warrior? We're supposed to be a warrior? Guess how we war? We speak in tongues. We pray in tongues. We get in before God on our face. We quote the word of God. We quote the promises. That's how we are warriors for God. And then we do what God tells us to do. And he might tell us to do something. He might say, share this scripture. He might have us to go and pray with someone. But we first go before God and we get our orders from our commander in chief. And that, I mean, I honor President Trump for his position and I pray for him. But he is not my commander-in-chief. God is my commander-in-chief. And we go toward him. But yes, we can get that warrior spirit with that oil of joy and just hit the gates of hell with everything that God has put in us, which is a whole lot. You know, when King David was anointed king by Samuel, he was a young boy. What? A shepherd? A little shepherd boy. And he was anointed king. Do you know that when Samuel anointed him king, he was king right then? Took him a while to get on the throne. But he was king. Because once God anoints you, that's who you are. May take you a while to line up and be a good warrior or to look like a good defeater. But you are. As soon as he anointed you, that's who you are. And again, we might have to go through some things to get to the position that God wants us in. But if we keep hanging in with God, we get there. David got on the throne because Samuel anointed him as king, and he was king right then. Even when he went back out to take care of his sheep, he was still king because God had anointed him that. The oil of joy, or the oil itself and the oil of joy that was used in the Old Testament, was also a real perfumed ointment that you poured on guests, like at weddings and times of joyfulness, and you put it on guests as a form of honor. Can you see the God putting the oil of joy on us? Because he honors us as guests into his heavenly presence. Oh, can you imagine? Just close your eyes and see yourself walking in as a guest in the heavenly presence of our Father, and he just pours out all this anointing. Well, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to do it, because his heavenly presence is whenever we walk into it. And that oil of joy is there. But when I've read that it was to honor, God honors us. He loves us. And in the Old Testament times, it was also used, oil was also used to anoint the head and body after a bath, and it was a symbol as honor, joy, and favor. Now, this is from studying the Hebrew about the oils. Honor, joy, and favor. We have that oil inside of us. We should feel honored. We should feel joy, and we should know that we have the favor of God upon us. The favor of God. You know, and it said it was done after a bath. Well, you know, a bath is a way for us to clean our bodies from the sweat and grime and dirt and all the stuff that goes on in a day's time. And if you don't take baths for a period of time, and in Kentucky there is a law on the books from the 1700s that you're only required to take a bath once a year. This is true. I learned it in my Kentucky history book that you were required to take a bath once a year. But I have been around enough people and patients to know what happens when you don't bathe correctly. There becomes an unpleasant odor around you, right? And it is unpleasant. And there are other odors, but as a nurse, I can tell what are odors from illnesses and odors from other things versus odors from not bathing. And I don't pass judgment on anybody. It is just the truth of the matter. We put off an unpleasant odor when we are not bathed. Well, in order to get all this daily grime and dirt and sweat and stuff off of us, we have to take a bath. And then after the bath, they would anoint the body and head with these perfumed oils that would give you a pleasant odor. And that was part of what the oil was used for in the Old Testament. And I got to thinking, thank you, God, we don't have to take a bath every day spiritually. Because guess who bathed our dirty, grimy, unpleasant, stinky, smelly spiritual life? Who washed it? Who bathed us? Well, there's an old song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When Jesus cleanses us spiritually, then he anoints us with the oil, the perfumed oil. Our unpleasant stinkiness is gone. Our dirt and grime and filth that we picked up through the world is gone. I don't care how much filth and dirt and grime, and I don't mean physical filth, dirt, and grime. I mean the filth, dirt, and grime that's out there in the world, and when you're mixing with the world, it gets on you, and you carry it with you, and yes, you have an unpleasant odor, a spiritual unpleasant odor. But see, God doesn't care. We can come to him dirty. We can come to him stinking. We can come to him with an unpleasant odor. And what does he do after he bathes us? He anoints us with the oil of joy. And we don't have to keep going back and taking a daily bath. Now, physically, I encourage everyone to bathe regularly. But spiritually, boy, Jesus did it. And when he did it well. In Ruth 3:3, we don't have to turn there. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Ruth had lost her husband, and she had came back with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it was very important back then that when someone's husband died, that someone in the family married the widow. But her husband didn't have any unmarried close relatives, like brothers, etc., etc. But there was this cousin of a cousin of a cousin named Boaz. And there's a whole story in Ruth about him being the redeemer of Ruth's family and of Ruth. And Naomi was giving her advice. Ruth, this is what you need to do. You need to get into the presence of Boaz. Go and pick up the wheat after his women have picked it in the wheat fields. Get in the presence of Boaz. And then she tells her in Naomi 3:3, wash yourself and anoint yourself with oil and put on your best garment, because I'm going to be talking about the garment of praise, and put on your best garment before seeing Boaz. Mm-hmm. Now, did she go and throw herself at him? No, she laid quietly at his feet and behaved herself like a young lady. And Boaz and God took care of the rest. But yes, Naomi told her, wash yourself and anoint yourself with the perfumed ointment. David would wash and anoint himself and put on fresh clothing before he would enter into the house of worship to God. He never went in without washing himself, putting on clean clothes, and anointing himself with oil. Oil was also used when women, virginal women, those who had never been married. Oil was also used by them when they became engaged, or betrothed, they called it, as a symbol, and this is what the symbol of this oil is for. See, they had oil for different things. But the symbol here was the oil of rejoicing, health, and looking forward to a good future. Oh, can you see the oil that's inside of us, giving us a spirit of rejoicing, health, and looking forward to a good future? Oh, Martha, you're looking forward to a good future? I think we're headed for civil war. Not according to my God. My God says I have a good future. See, that's where you can't get mixed up in all the words that are out there and get them mixed up with the Word of God. You got to stay focused on the Word of God. You see,
Ms.
when
Martha.
Yes, Miss Laverne. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I sorry to interrupt you, but
no.
Three statements that I want to read a scripture that Pastor found.
Yes.
It's from Ephesians 5. You may be going there, but it's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
Yes.
So, who makes us smell good?
Yes.
See?
Yes. You're right.
That aroma that... No, Christ gives us that aroma.
Yes, he does.
That's pleasing.
Yes.
To him.
Yes.
It doesn't come from ourselves.
No.
It's like that all. Another thing that I thought of was that when you started reading Isaiah 61, and I'm sure I may have thought of this before, but he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing is not for us to just consume upon ourselves and have a good time.
No.
The anointing of the Lord is upon us to be. It's to do. To do what?
Do whatever what it means. Yes.
Right.
So that God can be glorified.
And another quick thing, and then I'll get back. But these are just our thoughts.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Let me read this to you when I find it again. But when you were talking about when we walk in the joy of the Lord, okay, then and realize that he has anointed us with that, then we'll see other people that way.
Yes.
Because we lose our joy when we begin to condemn and judge.
That's exactly right.
See?
That's right.
We lose it.
Yeah.
And
that's
we don't
right.
see people the way God sees them.
That's right.
So this is the scripture the Lord gave me a long time ago. But it's Proverbs 3, today's proverb. And I read it in the Message Bible. But it says, the title of it is, Don't Assume You Know It All.
Yes.
This is the title of the Proverbs. Don't
yes.
assume you know it all. Have you talked to people here lately that said they knew what was going on?
Yes.
Mom. Anyway, but it says, good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time, a long life, full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty.
Right.
Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. And listen, earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and in the eyes of the people. And then this is the kicker, okay? Trust God from the bottom of your heart and don't try to figure out everything on your own.
Amen.
Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And don't assume you know it all.
Amen.
Run to God.
Yes.
Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own.
Yes.
Give him the first and the best, and your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. Now, you just look at that. What's he saying?
Yes.
Trust God. Don't assume you know it all. And if you will do that, health, prosperity.
Yes.
Getting along with others.
Yes.
See that? We're anointed to do that.
Yes. We are. Amen. Thank you.
One other thing I'd like to add.
Yes.
You said something earlier that triggered it. There's no way and no place that you can watch the news. I don't care if it's from the liberal fake news side to Newsmax, which is coming along as one of the more conservative, and there's some other things too. None of those things, none of what you see on any of those things encourage you to come away with peace and joy.
No.
Mm-mm. None of them. Mm-hmm. No matter how conservative they are or how liberal they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about even your Christian programs that are dedicated to covering events or that are done live, and they usually, mm-hmm. you know, reflect what's going on around you. If it's Bible teaching and all like that, that doesn't But if it's things like, and I don't mean point them out, but what I'm talking about is things like TBN and 700 Club.
Yeah,
CBN. I'm not saying that I'm not condemning them, but I'm saying you won't even get any joy out of the news that they give.
Right.
Because I know that I saw today somewhere that Pat Robertson has had a controversy with what President Trump did with the National Guard troops.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's the only place to find what we need to get through everything that we face is in the Word of God.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's right.
And we've got to hold on to that.
Right.
Because there isn't any other place to go and get the truth. You know, you may get some parts of the facts. But sometimes when you get the facts, you really don't have the truth.
That's right.
You're just aware of what's going on and what's going on. Maybe if we lived, and I know mankind is in the fallen state, but if we lived according to two statements in the Bible, we wouldn't have any of the problems that we have.
That's right.
And the one is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
And the other one is, thou shalt love thy neighbor
as thyself.
Yeah.
None of that is in view in any of this that's going on.
That's right. That's right. And the only way that you can do that is to, because the rest of that, of course, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We get all that done together. That's the answer to everything that's going on in America right now.
Yes.
And that's why I really want to encourage Christians, you know, to pray.
Martha, one thing, somebody.
Yes.
One more thing. Somebody said, and there's a real valid truth in it, that the reason things are like they are today is because over the last two generations since, what'd you do that for?
Go ahead, I'll find her.
Okay, am I still me? Am
I still? I see you.
Girl.
Is he talking? Can you all hear him?
Since, like my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, she's 26 years old. So, I mean, she's been an adult for several years.
Yeah.
And then the next generation, and then my children and my grandchildren generation, they have been taught less and less and less about respecting authority.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And the greatest authority that the world is saying don't recognize is the authority of Jesus.
That's right.
Took prayer out of schools back in the 1960s.
Yeah. Yep.
And as it's grown through, there has not been any recognition of God's authority for the most part over people and a lot of the church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And that's why I said the only thing that we can go to for the right answers is the Word of God.
Yep.
And of course, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And it's to go to Jesus. And I'm going to end with reminding us, when I was talking about the maidens, when they got betrothed and they were looking forward to their future and their marriage and their future and a good future, I want to remind us as we close out tonight, I'm not through with this. Is it okay if I teach some more next week?
Yes.
As we close out tonight, I want to remind each and every one of you all, we are the bride of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
And we get this anointing of this oil that it symbolizes rejoicing, health, and looking forward to a good future. We as Christians tonight, as I close out this session, can look forward to our future. Now, the circumstances are going to be great. I'm not going to go promise you that, because we live in a fallen world and Satan's our enemy. But do we, as the bride of Christ, have a good future? Now, do we have to wait for him to come back, for him to take care of us and have a good future? No. Miss Laverne just read it in Proverbs. If we run after God and trust him, he's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to give us good health. We as Christians, I don't care what they say about the Christians right now, but we as Christians, if we hold on to God and we realize that we're the bride of Christ and we are anointed with his oil, he's going to take care of us. And we have nothing to worry about in our future as Christians. We don't. So I want to close tonight. Thank you for those words and that encouragement. And yes, I'm going to get to the aroma, but I may not use the same one. That's the Holy Spirit talking. It's not one of us doing something over the other. It's the Holy Spirit working it together. And because we're all teachers and we all share, and this is a Bible study. I am not the one in charge when I sit here and teach. I am not. The Holy Spirit is. So whatever he puts on anyone's heart to share, it needs to be shared. We need to honor the Holy Spirit and how he wants things done. But I want to close tonight with you all going to bed realizing I am the bride of Christ and my bridegroom is going to take care of me, and I don't have to wait till the marriage day.
That's right.
Yes. You know, Mary was not married to Joseph when she went to Bethlehem. She was betrothed to him. And in Jewish customs, you had ways of doing things, stages. But he took care of her.
Yeah.
Now, he could have thrown her away when he found out she was pregnant. But he didn't. He took care of her. And she had to go with him to Bethlehem when the taxes came out. And he helped her that night when she had baby Jesus. And he wasn't married to her, but he treated her and honored her and took care of her. And our bridegroom is going to do the same for us here until we get to heaven, and then we have the marriage, and we have the marriage feast of the Lamb and all the excitement that goes with it. But it doesn't mean he's up there in heaven not paying any attention to his bride. We are the bride of Christ, and he is going to take care of us. And I don't care what happens in the next week, I will be saying the same thing next week. God is on the throne.